Attention broadcasters in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep begins now.
Before you leave with your hard-earned money in those buckets, I want you all to know where it's going. Alias Jonas Nightingale, born Jack Newton. The closest he ever came to a church was the Mary and Joseph Orphanage, where he lived from the age of 5 to 15. Then he ran away to begin a life of crime, including convictions for shoplifting, possession of marijuana, and grand theft auto, all before the age of 18. If you think this money's gone to a man of God, you better think again.
Everything you said is true. Absolutely true. Yes, I was born to lowly circumstances. Yes, I ran with a bad crowd that taught me to smoke weed and steal. I hung out in bars. And I hotwired cars. I grew up mistreated. So I lied and I cheated. I learned hard crime and I served hard time. I have walked that crooked road and I have danced with the demon Satan. I've been face down in the gutter and looked up into the face of God. And I say to you tonight, if you want to give up the bottle, who are you going to talk to? Someone who's never touched a drop? And if you want to give up womanizing, who are you going to talk to? Some pale-skinned virgin priest? And if you want to give up sin, and I believe everyone here tonight wants to give up sin, who can lead you off that crooked road? You need a real sinner, people. A sinner of such monumental proportions that all your sins wrapped up in one couldn't possibly equal the sins of this king of sin.
It is 19 minutes after the hour of one, and this the month of July, the year of our Lord 2010. Thank you for coming along and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Emerson News Network, looming high above the milkpacking district here in beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. Thank you for joining us. It is Friday. It is Friday, July 23rd. 2010. Thank you for stopping by. It is the Rick Emerson radio program, an excursion into whimsicalities and amusements of all varieties, my friends. If you'd like to join us today, it's 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. The phone activated now. There we go. 503-505-6964. It is on this telephone, by the way, that we'll be speaking to one Mr. Tom Lenk. Later on today, you may know him from such programs as Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and he's bringing his one-man show to Portland very soon. So we'll be talking to him later on this hour, talking to Tom Lenk. Hey, this is a dumb question, Don. I know I probably got this in front of me somewhere. What is the actual name of his one-man show?
I'm not entirely sure.
I don't know that it's actually been done, because I think he's sort of workshopping it right now is the deal.
Yeah.
I think that it's sort of, it's in a pupae stage.
I know that it is ostensibly him mostly talking about his experiences recently doing Broadway. And I know that his shows in the past have had names, but I don't know.
Apparently, I swear to God, it's called a one-man comedy spectacle of awesome. Fantastic. Also, the best way to spend a Saturday night other than getting laid. It's also been called Hodgepodge and Proptastic. All right, fantastic. So,
Proptastic doesn't sound promising.
And there's some sort of review here that references Bob Ross. And I don't really know why that is.
Isn't that the painting guy?
He's the guy that had the happy little tumor
and now
he's dead. All right. Well, in any event, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. Coming up later on this hour, we'll talk to Mr. Tom Lenk. Also, Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler will be joining us on the show later on today for our potato chip tasting. Because we're rubes, really. That's the thing. I was getting myself in a twist about how we got to get everything done really efficiently today to make room for Greg and Sarah to be taping their show at 3. But who am I kidding? It's just going to end up being just one like some weird big crossover thing anyway. So I guess we don't really have to wrap it up exactly at 3.
No.
I had all this premature anxiety about, no, we got all this stuff to get done and I got to be finished by 2:50 so I can... But I guess it's not really true because they're going to be here and drunk anyway, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Who cares? All right. And that's
and
the...
eating chips.
That's the... just real quickly here. I'm going to take off my headphones. I'm going to walk across the studio. Don, tell the people what news stories you're preparing today.
Well, unemployment benefits have been extended for Oregonians. Beginning next month, Walmart will be testing special magical tags to track garments. And owls are a possible reason in Decapitated Cat Head's mystery.
I wasn't listening to any of that because I was across the studio. I don't even know where this subject originally came from. The other day we were talking about potato chips that tasted like something other than potatoes. Why was that?
Well, we started talking about the subject came up of barbecued potato chips.
Oh, that don't
and
actually
how they don't
taste
actually
like
taste
barbecue.
Like barbecue sauce.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And then we were talking about weird flavors for potato chips and how the technology is in place to offer these chips that do have bizarrely authentic flavors. And you mentioned cheeseburger chips and pizza chips, neither of which I have ever had.
Really, we are living in a glorious golden age, my friends, of advanced chip technology. I hold in my hands, this is a bag of Doritos late night. Now, I could go on and on about this.
Doritos late night. So these are for when you're very, very drunk or
yes.
You've been smoking a lot of marijuana.
Yes.
This is their marketing for
that. That's exactly it. Well done, Don. You see, it is almost as if you're their target demo, theoretically speaking. Late night is a subset. It's an offshoot of the regular Doritos brand. It's like a niche Dorito. That has sort of specialty flavors.
Uh-huh.
So it's not like your regular ranch, nacho, spicy nacho, you know, whatever their like regular stuff is. They're sort of boutique flavors. Mm-hmm. If this were a fair, it would have an E at the end of it. So right here I hold Doritos late night. This one is Tacos at Midnight. I swear to God, it's called Tacos at Midnight.
Tacos at Midnight.
Not just taco or tacos. Tacos at Midnight. Mm. Let me read now what it says in the back. The night is... In fact, this doesn't really work. I gotta do it this way. The night is calling. Satisfy your craving with a new Doritos brand experience. Doritos Late Night. Tacos at Midnight. There we go. Fantastic. All right. Let's see. What else do I have here?
I have Pringles Torchon Tamale, because I wanted to know how you make Pringles taste like tamales.
And why would tamales be torchon? Tamale's just flour. It's just corn or something.
Well, a tamale is a meat and spicy meat.
Oh, that's true.
I guess
I'm thinking of tortilla.
And this is Pringles, you'll notice, extreme.
I think you're not saying it right. Extreme. There we go. Awesome. Let's see. What else do we have here? I'm sorry, may I do another one here?
Okay.
This is my second bag. Doritos Late Nights. All Nighter. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm saying this wrong.
Nighter?
It's the Doritos Late Night, but the flavor is the All Nighter Cheeseburger. Right here, look at that. Once again, the night is calling, Don. Do you need more late night satisfaction? It asks in big red letters. Doritos All Nighter Cheeseburgers. Is the answer. There you go. All right. What else have ye over there?
I have Boulder Canyon Natural Foods spinach and artichoke.
See, why does that need to exist? No one wants that. That's like a health food of potato chips.
I have Kettle Brand fully loaded baked potato. I have Lay's dill pickle chips.
Okay, see, those are the ones that I'm interested in. I'm interested in the dill pickle chips. Because, look, here's the thing. I like dill pickles. I really do. But I don't understand... Not everything that I like needs to be made into a potato chip. I like
ice cream.
I don't want an ice cream flavored potato chip. So, all right, what's the last thing you have?
And this one, well, I also have...
Woman.
I have Kettle Buffalo Blue.
Like a blue cheese buffalo wing thing?
Yes.
All right.
And then I have this canister here of Pringles Family Faves white cheddar popcorn flavored chips.
I would like to meet the family who has that as their favorite food. Why does a Pringles chip need to take... Well, I guess why do any of these things need to taste like anything else? But I don't understand. Why don't you just have popcorn?
I know. I mean, it's not like cheddar corn is that hard to find. Why would you have cheddar corn flavored chips?
Well, and like, I can understand the thing about having a buffalo wing flavored chip, because like a buffalo wing is inconvenient. You don't just have those sitting around. They're messy. But popcorn and Pringles are pretty much the same on the messiness scale. I don't really see the point of... Well, whatever. All right.
Well, I'm curious to find out how the Kettle brand potato chips new, by the way, new fully loaded baked potato chip. How does this taste better than, say, sour cream and chive chips?
Right.
What makes it fully loaded?
Let's see. I've got... I have here my second to last bag. I have here Lay's. This is just a regular potato chip. Ooh, but it's not, because it's limon. Not lemon, actually. Limon. Here's a dumb question. What is limon? Is that a lemon or a lime?
That's Spanish for lemon.
Okay, note that there's a picture of a lime on the front.
There is a lime on the front.
So there you go. So this is a Lay's potato chip that claims to be lemon flavored.
Well, there's a giant lemon behind the Lay's logo itself.
No, that's just the Lay's logo. That's the sun.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
See, it's on the back too.
Oh, all right.
That's actually just that's not part of the packaging of this particular flavor. That's part of the Lay's logo.
Yeah, it does have a.
It says limon, which I thought was lemon, but on the front there's a big lime.
I've been corrected in the text box. It translates to lemon and lime. Ah. They share the word in Spanish.
They're an efficient people.
So there we
all
go.
Right. And my the final bag I brought here. This is from the Terra Company, T-E-R-R-A, Kettles. So I guess Kettle is not Terra. I'm confused about this. There's like, this is one of those brands where there's like seven different words and you can't figure out which one's the actual brand. I guess Kettle must be a type of potato chip then, because this is not a Kettle chip. It's not from the Kettle chip company.
Yeah, I believe Kettle is a
certain, kind of cooking.
A type of cooking.
Like peanut
supposedly.
Oil and
yeah.
something. So Terra Kettles, which sounds like the name of a... sounds like isn't Terra Kettles where Scarlett O'Hara lives? Anyway, Kettle cooked potato chips. Now, the positioning for this is that it's a chef-inspired flavor. And this chef-inspired flavor is pesto and smoked mozzarella, which I actually am really looking forward to trying.
Well, that will be interesting.
It sounds like it might actually be good. Mm. Now, it might not be. I could be totally wrong about that. But it seems like it might actually not be terrible.
So, there you go.
Do we have any beverages? You brought me a Vizo.
I brought you a Vizo.
And then there's a whole refrigerator full of beer here.
Yes, I am drinking my day's Vizo right now, and I figure when we break into the chips, I'll probably have a beer.
I think if this works out, we ought to make this our Friday thing.
Food tasting?
Screw it. Why not? Yeah,
okay.
but really bad food tasting. Not even bad, but just your non-traditional food tasting.
Yeah. We can do that.
All right. Excellent.
We could have a food cart day one day where we can get, like, whiffy pies and things on sticks. And
oh, as though big-ass sandwiches isn't going to be the first guest. We got to get those guys on. You talk about the fact that they were voted best food cart before they're too big and powerful to talk to us, they're too high and mighty.
Well, we could have them come in next Friday and bring us sandwiches to taste.
See, I'm glad you said that, because I didn't want to have to be the one to say that out loud. I'm glad you did that for me. Thanks for taking the bullet there, Don. I appreciate that.
Because now it's a bit. Now we can say, we do this thing now on Fridays where we taste food.
That's what I'm talking about. All right.
This is a great way to get free food. I like this.
Let's see. What else is going on? All right.
Well, I could tell you my thing, or you could tell me about your leverage thing, or my thing's shorter than your thing, so it's up to you. You're the radio professional.
So-called. I guess. This is just one of those days. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm not excited to be here doing the show. It's not like I'm not looking forward to the limon chips. I really am. And it's just one of those. Do you ever have those days where you just feel like where every single thing about you is being held together by one single rusted bolt that is about to come apart.
That's pretty much every day for me.
Well, see, there you go. So we're all on the same page. It's just been, I really am not complaining. And it sounds like a complaint. It's not. It's just I understand that, as I said to you yesterday, could be worse. Could be a guy who was a Gulf shrimp, shrimp fisherman. You know, I could live in a mud hut in Rwanda, or not live in a mud hut in Rwanda, which seems to be increasingly the case there. So, I'm really complaining. I'm just saying it's been a busy week. There's a lot of stuff going on, and it's one of those things where you just like the busyness just seems to stretch off into the horizon like forever. And sometimes when you're really busy, you think, I can't wait for next Thursday when everything kind of slows down a little bit. Or, you know, or if I can just get through this weekend and then that big meeting on Monday, everything is going to relax a little bit. And this is like that, except the part where I see things ever slowing down or relaxing, like at any point in the immediate future, which is all well and good. It is no one's fault but my own. But I'm just feeling a little, I'm feeling a little frayed around the edges today. I went home last night. I don't know what you did, but I went home last night and I had all of this stuff to do. Just things of just every conceivable variety piling up. You know, even my normal OCD things didn't get tended to because I just had all of this. I mean, it's we'll talk more about this as the year progresses. But I got this whole book project I'm working on.
And those light switches won't turn themselves on and off five times.
No, they don't. No, those hands don't wash themselves compulsively an odd number of times. But this book project that I'm working on, that there was one big, final, huge mass of paperwork I had to get done for that, which just took just like a goddamn eternity. So I got that done. I had had some vocal work I had to do. I had this leverage conversation, which I'll... Which I guess sayable? Is it out loudable?
I believe so.
All right. Well, so I can now reveal to you, now for the first time, I can reveal to you that in an outpost on the edge of space, that I, Rick Emerson, appear to have actually landed a smallish part. Smallish makes it sound like it might actually be large. It's not. In fact, a small part on TV's Leverage. I will soon be TV's Rick Emerson in more ways than just one. I appear to have. It actually wasn't any of the parts I tried out for. I tried out for five different parts. I was apparently ill-suited for all of them, which I probably could have told them. I could have just told them that over the phone, saved this. I could have faxed them something. No. So I will fail. But I'm cast in a different role altogether, which is going to be shooting next week. That's all very exciting. But also then kind of terrifying. You know, but mostly exciting, but a little terrifying. Mostly exciting, though. But then the terror. So
you're gonna get a haircut before. What do you do to prepare for this sort of thing?
I don't know. You're asking me like I've been on Leverage before, like I've ever been on anything except Outlook Portland, which is a show that has a crew of like two, of the two people.
You have filmed your own one man show. You've appeared on various guises in various different media.
I suppose, but I've never really done like. I mean, this is an actual television program that'll be seen by people the world over, which I've not really ever done. I mean, I Outlook Portland is seen. You know, whatever. It's all through. You know, Portland's got a lot of people, and Bigger Than Jesus was a thing that was seen. However, by the members of Fall Out Boy, apparently, one of those things that you never really would have thought would have happened to you. But but I've never really done like an actual television show. So this is very.
You were in Storm's video.
That's true. Storm's video.
Yelling vagina, vagina, vagina over and over again.
It's the greatest moment of my life.
By the way, Davey Nipples added me as a friend on Facebook last night, basically on the strength of us talking about my breasts.
Oh, well, that's the way to Davey's heart, you know, and perhaps his penis. Anyway, so doing the Leverage thing last night, so we'll talk more about that because when Greg gets here, because I think Greg has been on Leverage.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm unclear about what I have to do and what I don't have to do. Like, do they... This sounds so stupid, but like if I get there and it's like my hair is somehow wrong, like is there a guy there that like trims the hair correctly or?
Well, there is a hair and makeup person. They would probably put product in it and do something with it. They might snip it a little bit. They might trim it a bit.
You know, because I'm playing to no one's surprise, playing a TV broadcaster. So, you know, but I don't know what that looks like in their world. Like in other words, I don't know what they're visualizing.
They may fit you with a wig. You have no idea.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I want a bald wig and a scar and a monocle. Anyway, so that and then what the hell else was I doing? Like 100,000 other things. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
You're supposed to do some paperwork for me.
Yes. Ugh.
God damn.
So of course, you were also supposed to email me about what chips you bought, too.
Well, get off my back! I'm doing the best I can over here. It is like all I could do to get through last night without just dissolving into just a heap of useless rubble. So the upshot of it is that last night I went home and I sat in my large green chair, which is where I do most of my best work, and I sat there with my computer and I thought, I got all this work to do. Well, I could stare blankly at a wall for a while, and then I would stare at the wall, and then I would say, well, I should do this work. I haven't finished season 6 of Homicide yet. Maybe I should watch Homicide. Well, I should do this work. Well, maybe I should watch another episode of Justified. Maybe I should, you know. And it was just like one ongoing battle trying to get things done. And so I actually didn't really get any demonstrable work undertaken until like 11:30 last night. So it was just a long ongoing process of just whatever. Anyway, all right. Well,
I actually did much the same thing last night. I had a review I needed to write, and you can go to Cinematical today at some point and see my review of Ramona and Beezus. But I had to get that turned in this morning, and I'd write like 3 sentences and stare at the wall and write 3 sentences, going, "Why isn't this coming?" Mainly because I spent about 3 paragraphs. I literally spent 3 paragraphs, and you will read this if you look at the review. Talking about, you know, sharing my opinion that the Disney Corporation grows kid actors on a farm.
That's true. Like in The Matrix, they just sort of have like a whole row of pods somewhere.
Yeah. Something that has really nothing to do, very little to do with this review at all, other than the fact Selena Gomez, who comes from the Disney factory, is in the movie. But just going into, you know, ridiculous detail about my theory about farm-grown Disney children. So.
Well, you know, it is one of those things where you are endeavoring to get something done, and then it doesn't really get done in the grand scheme of things. So was that the sum total of your evening?
Well, yeah, pretty much. I do have a marital riddle for you here.
Okay.
At my husband's place of employment, they are given every 6 months or so, they're given a packet that has the calendar on it for the next several months. And they are given the opportunity to choose when they want to take their vacation time.
Right.
There are 2 different packets that go around. One is a full week, and it's only full weeks. And the other one is individual days. So my husband got the one for full weeks. If he wants to take an entire week of vacation time in one stretch, anytime between now and the end of the year, December 31st. And he got it yesterday, had to look it over, choose a week, block it out on the calendar, then hand it off this morning to the next employee in line. When do you think, here's your riddle, when do you think he actually mentioned to me, his wife, that he had to make a decision about taking a week of vacation time off?
Well, I was going to actually see, if you hadn't phrased it that way, I would have said after he already turned it in. I would have said that he sort of turned it in and said, oh, by the way, I told them that I was going to take a week off in, and then he would have listed some week that was totally incompatible with your schedule the night before.
No.
Man.
In the car, on the way to work, about 2 minutes before I dropped him off in front of his building.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well done, sir. All right. And what was your response to that? Was it one of tolerance and understanding?
Of course.
Was it one of
course it was.
Grace and charm?
Of course it was.
Effortless politeness?
Yes.
Or was it just sort of an eye gouging followed by a punch to the junk?
Well, actually, I think I explained to him with my jaw kind of clenched that I actually, you know, have a job now and someone I work with who also has a schedule, and that, you know, perhaps you are planning to do something, like, say, with your family over the holidays in December or whatever, in which case we could line these things up. Would I have the opportunity to mention it to you before he had to take it into the building and hand it to someone else?
It's really not my place to say. So, of course, I will say it. How do I put this? Well, I've known you for quite a while now, Don. I would say several years, a couple years,
yeah,
a few years,
quite a few years.
In many contexts and all kinds of circumstances. This isn't really an observation about Patrick so much as it is about you. In other words, I'm sure he is a great, swell, intelligent, funny, capable man.
He is.
And see, and all of that is what makes it more interesting that a great percentage of the time, I would say a majority of the time, when you speak about him, you have that tone as though you are speaking about a child. A child that you like, but that you don't really understand and who frustrates you quite a lot. I really have no point there except to make that observation that you do get a very discernible, like, frustrated mom tone in your voice. And so that makes me wonder, though, if somewhere, like at work right now, if my wife is saying the same thing or telling some similar story about me using exactly the tone of voice. In other words, if it's not a your tone of voice about Patrick, if it's that as a wife describing husband tone of voice.
It could be. Also, in our particular situation, we've been together 11 years now. We've been married for 10. And he is eons more responsible and adult than he was when we first met.
You've beaten it into him.
Well, but the thing is, he is the only son in a family. He has younger sisters. He is also one of those kids who was the golden child in his family. Everybody loved Patrick. Everybody adored him. To this day, the first time I met his family, the 70-something-year-old aunt sits down with me and says, "Oh, he was always my favorite. Oh, I love him so much." With this tone in her voice of like, "You treat him right.
We'll kill you, Don."
Yeah. And the thing is, they have always tolerated, all of them have tolerated his not coming through with it. "Oh, Patrick's late. That's just what he's like. Oh, Patrick forgot to buy his sister a birthday present. Oh, that Patrick." And so then I started living with him and had to say, "That's not acceptable. You have to remember my birthday. You have to show up for things on time."
This all sounds so familiar.
And he's like, "Okay, I'll try." And so now it's like 10 years later, and he's much, much better about it. But we still have these moments where I'm just like, seriously?
You've sufficiently broken
really?
His will that he...
Yeah.
Well, there you go. You sound like a real ball breaker, Don. There's just no getting around that.
I am. I'm a horrible, terrible bitch of a person.
I didn't want to put it that way, but really, there's just no other way to phrase it.
I've destroyed his joie de vivre, I'm sure, over the years.
She's Don Taylor. She's at the news desk.
And now, from the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
Hey, by the way, real quickly, you may have... see, now I'm turning into Patrick in front of you.
Don, I know you probably told me this yesterday, but I forgot.
Cheryl probably told me this as well. Here's my thing, actually, is the dynamic you were just describing with you and Patrick. I actually have that with... I know this sounds odd, but you know what I mean. When I say I actually have that with multiple women, because in every aspect of my life where I seem competent... there is, in fact, a woman who it makes me look better than I am. So whether it's, Lara or you or Cheryl or, like anything I wear that actually looks decent, Sarah undoubtedly picked out. Any of the film projects I've ever done that looked good or that worked, that was all Joni. I mean, it's just, so I can't really do anything. Everything in my life that seems like I've done something well, that is just me leaning on a woman who is competent and tolerant of all of my jackass behavior.
I did mention to Patrick this morning that when we first started working together, I'd been really worried about sounding like I was nagging you about things, so not wanting to remind you of things too
much. No, you gotta nag me.
And now I'm actually, a month into this, I have really started to finally start to realize that you need me to tell
you
two or three times.
No,
that you don't see it as nagging. You go, "Oh, yeah, okay."
No, because otherwise it won't get done. Yeah. But I was just, are we calling Tom Linker. Is he calling us? I believe he is calling us.
I think he's calling us.
I wanted to verify that. All right. So, and so forth. All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
In like 5 minutes.
Well, which is fine. I mean, it's not like I'm not prepared. I just wanted to make sure because if we had to do the outgoing call. I wanted to know so he wasn't like sitting by the phone going, "I don't know. They said they'd call." When you say you're going to call somebody, you're supposed
to
call.
He is calling us.
All right, that's what I thought. All right, just checking. All right. By the way, Pringles apparently has ketchup flavored potato chips.
Well, actually, if you look on the websites that cover Japanese foods, you will find potato chips and things that have really insane flavors.
Yeah,
like you're like, "Oh, look, wasabi mayonnaise flavored chip." Yeah, that no one wants to eat.
Yeah, but they're aliens, so.
Yeah.
All right, here's Don Taylor.
I'm trying to find the right story so that, we can interrupt it when the phone rings. Oregonians on unemployment don't need to do anything to continue benefits that were threatened until a federal bailout was made final yesterday.
Awesome.
Department staff will move Oregonians into the new program automatically, according to spokesman Tom Fuller of the Oregon Employment Department. Rather than trying to phone for an update, Fuller encourages the nearly 110,000 Oregonians who benefit from the extension to go online to check the status of their claim. The extension will bring up to $400 million in benefits for the unemployment under what was called the Unemployment Compensation Extension Act of 2010. 30,000 individuals who have been collecting regular benefits I don't know what the rest of this is. But anyway, there will be no benefits for some 2,000 Oregonians who have a claim too old to qualify and who have not been receiving unemployment.
I'm so confused by this whole thing because the state voted to extend this, but and I did not know. It's not like a thing that it's not like I'm some guy who's really well versed in the underpinnings of Oregon's economic system or something. But I had this guy in Outlook Portland who explained to me the algorithm by which the unemployment system is held together. And unlike most states, I think we were talking about this earlier this week. Unlike most states, the unemployment isn't funded by tax dollars. It's funded by employers.
Right.
So. Is this a thing where then the government goes back to employers and says, like, you got to pay more money?
Well, I think we're getting some money to help.
From the Fed or something?
Yeah,
or
to help bump up our unemployment.
All right.
From the feds. But yeah. So.
All right. Well, there you go. So
there you go. So if you're on unemployment and you've been worried about losing your benefits, you will continue to get them and you don't have to reapply or do anything. But you should probably go online to check the status of your claim just to make sure.
And because it really is just such a, you know, as much as we sort of bleakly joke with our trademark gallows wit about this sort of thing, it really is kind of terrifying. If you're on unemployment and then, you know, and then you do that thing, which I have done, and I'm not on unemployment now, but, I've been unemployed many times in my life. Well, you are getting unemployment, and it's like every time you get the check, you're looking at the balance remaining, and it's like ticking down towards zero. And you're doing that thing in your head of dividing the amount you get every week into the remaining amount and thinking, in 7 weeks, they're going to stop sending me these checks, and then I'm going to have to become a whore. And it's like, I'm fragile. I whore poorly. And you really start to think, like, horrible things that you never would have thought. Things like, am I going to have to move back home with my goddamn parents? You know, am I going to, you know, at the age of whatever, 25, 30, 35, am I going to have to call home and ask my mom for money?
Yeah, am I going to have to apply for a job at Taco Bell?
Yeah. And what if I don't get a job at Taco Bell? That is, did I tell this story on the air, in other words, on this show where, I think it was on Ham-Fisted Radio or maybe when we were on with Court and Bobby. Where I was talking about after Tim Riley had been laid off. Hey, I think it's Tom Link calling us. All right, let me just...
I hope so.
All right. Why, hello, you've called the Rick Emerson radio program. To whom am I speaking?
This is Tom Link.
Tom Link, hey, it's Rick Emerson. How are you doing on this fine Friday, sir?
Good, how are you? What's going down?
Not a whole lot. I was just finishing an amusing anecdote about a friend of mine who's unemployed. Do you mind listening to the final 20 seconds of it before we begin our actual discussion with you?
Sure, I'm going to be talking to you as I drive towards the gym. So I have to grab my gym bag and then I'll be ready to go.
All right, so you know what? I'll finish the story and then I will ignore any clattering noises that happen in the background as you gather up your many possessions.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. So, I forget whether this was a story that I think I told this when you and I were on with Court and Bobby, that when after Tim Riley had been laid off, we had a whole series of media folks, of which you were one, who were kind of filling in for him.
Yes.
And that and it's not you, but a well-known, a female Portland media type who was laid off at that point. And it's also not who everybody else is probably thinking of. Had come into the studio and during the show was actually checking her, like, monster.com or jobzos.com or one of those sites or whatever. And in the space of half an hour, applied for and was then rejected for a job at a truck stop, like at a gas station. And, you know, and it's like, she's like, I don't know, they want me to apply at a gas station. How depressing. I I've interviewed the Foo Fighters, you know. And so she applies for a job at a gas. And I'm laughing, but it's you know,
yeah.
It was just one of those. She's like, well, I guess a job's a job, and she applied. I think her idea was, well, I'll apply for this and it sucks because I'll get it and then I'll have to take the job. And then they like rejected her like 25 minutes later. They didn't even interview her. Like, sorry, you are not qualified for this job. You do not currently meet our needs. So it's just the weirdest thing on earth. So in any event. All right. All right. You are listening to the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't forget, coming up next hour, we'll be joined by Greg Nibbler and Sarah X. Dillon of Fun Employment Radio. Coming up Friday, August 6th. That is Friday, August 6th, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. You'll be able to hear the man behind the clatter on the other end of this phone. Tom Lenk will be live in Portland, the Ellen By studio at the Girding Theater at the Armory, which is like three ats, but it's the, you know, the theater right by. If you saw Cabaret, it's that building right there. If you saw Storm and Cabaret, it's right by Powell's. It's right on 11th there, right off Burnside. You can find out more, by the way, at you can email Tom Lenk for information. It's tomlenkshow@aol.com. And the tickets are available at brownpapertickets.com. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson radio program from numerous projects, including Rock of Ages and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Mr. Tom Lenk. Hello, sir.
What's going down?
Well, it's like it's 5 minutes ago already. It's blowing my mind. Not a whole lot. Forgive the question. So you are packing up. Did you say you were getting ready to go to the gym right now?
Correct. All right. I mean, someone's got to pay attention to this body.
Well, no.
You know, I've got to maintain this statue-like physique.
No, fair enough. I mean, it's you know, even the Mona Lisa is cleaned every now and again. So, are you where is your place of residence? What city do you live in? Most of them? You live in L.A.
It's a magical land that I can't tell you about because I'd have to kill you. No, I'm kidding. I am in Los Angeles, yeah.
And so you start, I mean, a lot of people, you know, people have talked about Buffy the Vampire Slayer a lot and your portrayal of Andrew on Buffy and Angel as well. And then you went to, and this is one of the things you talk about in your one-man show, to Broadway in Rock of Ages, which is that, you know, sort of an 80s-themed musical. And you originated the role. It's not like you were just in it. You originated the role of Franz in Rock of Ages.
Yeah, I talk on my detail. Not going where I'm not talking and driving at the same time. Or, yeah, I'm allowed to do that if I just am not holding it, which maybe I'll do. I originated the role here about 4 years ago. We sort of did the original workshop production. And it was me and Laura Bell Bundy, who was playing the lead part. Chris Hardwick was playing one of the roles. It was very, like, cool sort of, yeah, we're doing a show. It's casual. It's low key. Everybody gets to drink. It was something that never really happened here before in LA. It just wasn't being performed in a real theater. It was a club venue, and people, they had a bar, and there was all these dancers in the show that didn't sing, and there's, you know, like 35 people in it. And you know, against all odds, it did make it to New York, which then sort of became the Broadway version of the show, which was actually smaller. It's like less people. You know, the dancers now had to also sing. I had to pass a dance audition. I had to be able to sing and dance at the same time, which was not part of my skill set before going to New York.
I have to know this. How horrifying is it? We've been talking a lot about on the show recently about the process of auditioning for movies or TV roles, and it's just, you know, it's nerve-wracking and soul-crushing and whatever. How horrifying, though, is it when you have to stand in front of a group of strangers or at least people in a position of authority, and you literally have to stand there and dance for them?
Well, I mean, I was scared out of my mind, mostly because it's a very common thing to have done, to do the workshop of a musical and then do not ever end up playing that part that you helped create, because there's a lot of things that go, you know, factor into, you know, do they want a big star in this part, or do you have to be able to dance, is this now, you know, anyway, so I had to... You know, I had a flight in New York and essentially auditioned for the role I'd created because, you know, things had changed in the show and there's all sorts of different new people. And clearly, you know, my friends are on the production team, and they're huge supporters of me, but you also have to win over, you know, the new money people, and the choreographer needs to know that you can do a coffee grind, that's a technical term, that's like one move in the dance you had to be able to do because the choreography had already been set at that point. I was going into, I wasn't available for the initial off-Broadway run, and when you, with all these, you know, equity rules, so whoever does off-Broadway then gets to do the initial Broadway run. So I didn't get to do the first bit of it on Broadway because I couldn't do it off-Broadway. So, you know, it was essentially replacing the guy who replaced me. It was just like a weird, very strange, it was a strange thing, and I sort of half expected that I wouldn't end up doing it. I was going to get it, but it did. Rambling.
So
I guess so a lot. Like a,
so like I, you, I mean, you just, you,
I did make it, and you know, was forced to be face to face with myself in a sparkly unitard every day.
It's you do, you know, you got so much stuff going on because in addition to, you know, again, people think you're from Buffy or Angel or Rock of Ages, and you've done, and this is a thing, not like I'm a Tom Link stalker or something. This is actually a thing I was reading up on you where you've done. I mean, it was four or five different sort of plays or small plays or one-man shows. And I mean, is it a thing where you just got like ideas in your head all the time trying to get out? Or is it a Los Angeles thing of like, I always need to be working? Because if you stop working for a second, the town just like goes on without you.
No, I mean, my thing is like, sometimes I see my film and TV career as my day job that pays for my silly show habit at night. Just because I love to perform, and I'm in a sort of very tight-knit group of comedians and actors and sketch actors here in L.A. that are sort of, a lot of them are groundlings adjacent. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but that's where a lot of, you know, SNL people come from, the groundlings, like Barry O'Terry and Will Ferrell, and you know, Paul Rubens came from there, and
Phil Hartman,
Lisa Kudrow, all these people have come out of this sort of improv sketch, you know, theater. Anyway, I have a lot of friends that are in that group. I myself am a dropout, but I don't know. I had so much fun. You know, the rest of America doesn't see it, but you know, I've been doing the shows for years, so I don't think it's any sort of like I have to stay busy or any people to think of me, because most of the time it's just like, you know, your other friends coming to see you in the show. But I started doing my solo comedy shows because I was accidentally Googling myself late at night one night, and I came across accidentally.
Totally by happenstance, yeah.
Yeah, you should know better, Tom. But I stumbled across all these comments that these teenage girls had about me on this one, like in a response to an interview I did, and they could decide if I was cute or not or whatever. And it ranged from like the same to the most horrible, dirty, filthy, sexually perverse, just the craziest stuff. I mean, it was devastating. You know, this was years ago, and I don't know, I'd never experienced that before, and so I was just, I felt sick to my stomach about it, but then, you know, after I had some distance from it, I was like, these are hilarious, and I started reading them at various, like, little stand-up nights and things around town, and then I realized I had all these other things that I had found about myself, you know, on the internet and from my own collection from my past and my high school years as a tyrannical theater director. That was like the first show I did, and I don't know, it just sort of stemmed from there. Just like now my stuff is a little more actually just sort of storytelling and alternative comedy stand-up style kind of.
I have to, before we'll talk about the show that's coming to Portland here in just 1 second, but I have to ask this, because this is a thing that has nagged at me for years, and I seem to be the only one who has made this observation. So you may have heard it before, but I bring this up to people, and they have not heard it. Has anybody ever come up to you and just said, like, look, We got to find some way to cast you as a younger version of Bradley Whitford from The West Wing, because you're like the same person. Dude, you look exactly like that guy.
I've gotten that from a few random people who are like, you are Bradley Whitford's younger brother. And I never understood that, because I'm more used to getting, like, you look just like, you know, first dragon or whatever his name is. You look like a hobbit. You look like whatever.
Yes, the Elijah Wood.
You look like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Well, you look like Hermie the Elf. These are things I'm used to.
Well,
so Bradley Whitford one is not a common one, but I'm a huge fan of his, and I worked with him, and I dared not tell him. Everyone says that I remind him of my, or, you know, that I look like the younger him, or seem like the younger him, because that is the biggest thing that no actor ever wants to hear, that you look just like someone else.
I suppose that's true, and I suppose if you're an actor, you probably also don't want to be told that somebody else looks just like a version of you, but younger.
Yeah, especially when someone else is wildly much more successful than you are. Like, thank you. I'm glad I look like Elijah Wood, but he's got a big career. Yeah, so
all right.
I'm not going to be playing any of his parts, because he would actually be playing those.
Your show's going to be here. It's going to be here Friday, August 6th, 8 p.m., and people can get tickets at brownpapertickets.com, and there's more information to be found at TomLenk, TomLenk.com. For people who haven't haven't seen other iterations of the show or other things that you've done, what can people expect when they come in? I mean, what is the – I hate to make it, like, describe it in a sentence or whatever, which is impossible, but what is sort of an overview of what kind of night it is?
I'm trying to remember the press release. It's an alternative comedy storytelling stand-up show, and it's very sort of – it's like a hodgepodge, show-and-tell, song-and-dance, audience interactive, Bob Ross-inspired sort of mixed-media one-man comedy spectacle. Is that okay? Can I say that?
You have no idea what the show is, do you? You have no clue what you're going to be doing.
That was the description, because I randomly went up and did this show in Seattle and used the Seattle crowd as a test market audience. I made them fill out a survey, and those were some of the words that they used to describe it. One woman said it's the best way to spend a Saturday night other than getting laid.
I did also see the phrase here where you were described as, quote, being a one-man comedy spectacle of awesome, but that's not the best part. The best part is Tom Lenk has been quoted as saying, quote, Tom Lenk is one of the greatest actors, writers, and lovers of our time. So who can disagree? All right. Well, on that note, I just live in fear that we're going to be speaking with you and you're going to be wrapped around a telephone pole or something, because I will be distracting you while you drive. So I feel like I really ought to let you get to the gym. When you get to town, though, we have to get you in here and have you in the studio with us when you get to town to do the show on August 6th.
Come by and harass you in person.
Fantastic. Excellent. There you go. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you get back to the wheel. There you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Lenk. You can find out more about him at TomLenk.com. His show will be at the Girding Theater on August 6th. And wow. All right, there we go. Boy, ever since the beginning of that call, I just had all this agita that I was going to hear the rending of metal and the screaming of tires or something.
Yeah, he shouldn't have. He should have just pulled over.
I got the feeling that even like walking and speaking was a little bit not overtaxing. That's the wrong way to put it, but just that he wasn't entirely able to focus on the task at hand.
He has a lot going on.
Well,
he has a big show coming up. He was on his way, to the gym.
He is Tom Lenk. All right. So there you go. That's good God Almighty. Fantastic. I'm just going to fold this up and put it right over here. Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler have entered the studio. So I'll tell you what, we'll do this. We'll come back right around the corner, and we will have our potato chip tasting. So now two people have said that they have tried the ketchup-flavored Pringles, which just seems like a thing that ought not be. You know what ketchup-flavored Pringles sound like? It sounds like one of those things that they would sell to you, like, in London.
Someone on the text box said that ketchup chips are popular in Canada, as are roast chicken. flavored potato chips.
Those are the chips that I told you that I had actually in Bath when I was in Bath. That was that was the way that they sold them to me because I'm a guy, and it was just a picture of meat on the front. And it was just, you know, it was like a plate of, it was like a plate of roasted chicken. And then in just the tiniest letter, it said, you know, and crisps, you know, or whatever, you know, crisp form. And I went back and that is a thing that it performed exactly as advertised because it said, you know, these are potato chips that taste exactly like chicken. And part of your brain says, that's impossible. That can't be true. But then you realize that now with, you know, what with great advances in modern technology, anything can taste like anything else. We can make this table taste like an Oreo if we wanted to. So I got back to the bed and breakfast place. I couldn't, but it could be done by someone smarter than myself with a clipboard and the appropriate amount of lab coats to wear. So I got back to the bed and breakfast, and we're sitting there, and we're watching, you know, Yes Minister or whatever British crap was on at that hour, and just vainly looking around for something that wasn't Drek. And I open the bag, and I, you know, you get into it. Here's the thing about the potato chips that taste just like the crisp chicken skin. That either sounds gross to you or it sounds awesome. Is the thing? It is both. it is like eating a double stuffed Oreo, speaking of Oreos. Where you get, you know, the double stuffed Oreo is that cookie that turns on you really quickly.
Yeah.
It's, you know, awesome, awesome, awesome. It's just you get one too many and he's just and it, you just feel like you're going to spew. And that was with the thing, because if you think about just a guy like putting a big plate of fried chicken skin in front of you, that's going to be really, really good, especially if you're drunk. That's going to be good for like the first two or three bites. And then there's just sort of a curdling sensation that happens.
And then you just hate yourself.
Yeah, and then it's like you hate yourself and the company that made them and the man who sold them to you at Marks & Spencer. All right, you are listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for joining us. We will return around the corner with our potato chip tasting for Friday. Still to come today, we have a religious nutcase watch, snuff watch, taser watch, and Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler will join us. Don't go anywhere. We are back after this. You are listening to the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Stay right there.
We started the tour. But I did not make the second show. 'Cause I met this girl there that brought about quite a big change. But I OD'd in Denver and I just can't remember her name. I guess you could say that my love life was not up to par. Too many nights alone had left some permanent scars. She told me she'd love me, and I told her that I'd do the same. Then I OD'd in Denver, and I just can't remember her name. I brought it on myself, and I guess that I shouldn't complain. Doc says, son, you can't do any more of that cocaine. Well, she made me higher than all of those expensive things. But I OD'd in Denver, wish I could remember her name. Now I turned to other things, trying to make my daydreams real. But they don't take the place of a woman's face and her feels. She treated me nice and I'd like to find her again. But I OD'd in Denver and I just can't remember her name. Yeah, I brought it on myself and I guess that I shouldn't complain. Be damned if I'll do any more of that cocaine. Well, she made me higher than all of those expensive things. But I OD'd in Denver and I just can't remember her name. Kinda overdid it in Denver and I just can't remember her name.
All right, then. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for joining us. It's 503-505-6964. It is Friday. 503-505-6964. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Don't forget, coming up today, as soon as the show is over, we will have a small musical interlude, after which we go to an encore of today's Legion of News episode, followed by an encore of this very fine radio program. All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Dawn's doing that thing again where she's holding up a larger sign. No, I appreciate it. No, it's not. No, I mean, I'm grateful that you did so, because
Cheryl tells me things in the text box. It says to tell you, but then we're on the air, so I can't actually tell you.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do this in a seamless manner so that the audience is not aware that I am passing you a note.
And then I just blow the whole thing by saying,
yes.
This is like that time you held up a sign saying, your microphone sounds terrible. No one can, you know, or whatever the hell. What was I going to say? So still on the way today. We've got the Taser Watch to get to, Snuff Watch, etc., and so forth and whatnot. Don Taylor is also tracking the following stories for you on your Friday.
Oh, sure. Aha. I am.
That's right. Who looks foolish now, Don Taylor?
I didn't realize we were actually getting to extra news.
Well, we're not going to get to these as you're tracking them. We're not actually going to have time to explicate them.
The ashes of a cat who was on the TV show Coronation Street has sold. Beginning next month, Walmart will have special tags in garments. And owls might be responsible for killing cats.
Fantastic. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Radio program from Fun Employment Radio, which can be found each and every weekday at funemploymentradio.com. Greg Nibbler and Sarah X. Dillon. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, sorry, I was like, kick the tables.
All right. Are you on mic 4, Sarah?
I think so. I don't know which one I'm on.
There Hello. We go. That's mic
Is
4.
That me?
All right. Yeah. All right.
All right.
Excellent.
I'm just looking at this huge pile of chips over here.
There yes, really is a massive amount of chips. Dawn, though, it should be noted, doesn't care as much as Rick Emerson does because she bought the small bag. I bought the large bag of everything
I
over
bought
here.
More flavors oh, than God, you did, more. But I bought smaller bags because they were tasting chips. All it's right. not like we're...
We're gorging
on chips.
No way is it like that. Let's quickly, again, just go through the flavors that you got. If you just want to kind of bullet point what you brought in.
Okay, I got Boulder Canyon Natural Foods spinach and artichoke. I got Yum. Two from Kettle brand, fully loaded baked potato, and Buffalo Blue.
That sounds
I got
scary.
Lay's dill pickle chips.
Oh, those are really good. I've had them before.
I have
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Pringles Extreme Tarch and Tamale.
Awesome.
And also Pringles white cheddar popcorn flavored.
Now,
Weird.
Pringles, see, that the Pringles, they've really made great strides lately in having chips that taste like other things. They're the ones who had the pizza-flavored chips. And here's the thing about the pizza-flavored chips is, because you noted that nothing that is supposed to taste like pizza ever does, but they really did. I'll mm-hmm. be goddamned if they didn't taste just like pizza, and they didn't.
Well, I'm curious to see how they do with the tamale chips. Like, how do you differentiate between other Mexican foods? And because it's specifically tamale.
It's not just
it's
a generic Mexican
right.
flavor.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about the Pringles pizza chips is they didn't just taste like pizza. They tasted like pizza from Chuck E. Cheese, which is a strange distinction to make.
Oddly
do you go there a lot? Or?
No, but I'm a big pizza enthusiast. And they had a distinct flavor to their pizza. Something about the makeup of the sauce. I don't know, there was something, some amount of spices in the sauce. Because I actually always thought that in terms of pizza, that Chuck E. Cheese pizza was actually not bad. It was way better than you would expect at some joint that was just about a bunch of grubby-faced children getting their arm caught in the ball machine thing.
It's the flavor of stress and anger.
it's the taste of regret. It's like that, I don't know if we've all read the book Fast Food Nation, but there's that chapter
Indeed.
In Fast Food Nation where he goes to the chemical plant on the outskirts of New Jersey, like in Trenton, and he walks into the laboratory and the guy has him close his eyes and then holds a strip of paper underneath his nose and says, now inhale. And he said it's like for all the world as though he is standing over a barbecue where a guy is sizzling cheeseburgers or something. And the guy said, like, nothing actually has any flavor anymore. They just, like, dose it full of, you know, liquid taste of some kind. So that's why everything tastes so great now.
My favorite thing that I took away from a program I saw about the making of a snack food, it was a British documentary where they showed the making of a snack food from the original planning stages all the way through the manufacture. And one thing was when they went to the flavoring laboratory and where they have just walls of test tubes with all of these different things, and then they combine them to create tastes, to create flavors. And the thing that I found interesting is that when something says it has natural flavor, that doesn't mean that it's the natural flavor of the thing. Like if it says natural, you know, natural blue cheese flavor,
right,
that doesn't mean it's blue cheese. That means that it's coming from a natural source as opposed to an artificial source. And one of the flavorings they use to make blue cheese flavor is turpentine.
That's awesome.
Which is a natural substance.
Wow.
It's only artificial if it's entirely created in the lab as a chemical. If it is a natural source, then they call it natural flavor. But it doesn't have to have anything to do with the actual flavor that they call it.
So John, you're so smart.
So they just found out that like lead or something happened to taste like mango.
Right.
Then
they could say natural mango flavor.
That actually makes a lot of sense because I was watching this whole... you and I were talking about nachos, actually, when we went to the Sleep Country Bowl thing.
Yeah, because somebody brought the scariest big plate of nachos I've ever seen.
Our friend Jenny, her husband had actually purchased this massive thing of nachos, and I had this whole thing in my. We were talking about the making of tortilla chips, and I wondered, well, like, how are they made? Which sounds really daft until you think about it. And I was like, well, do they make tortillas and then cut them into triangles and then fry them, or is it a thin strip of dough? And then, like, cookie cutters come down and stamp the triangles out.
Like at the beginning of Edward Scissorhands.
Exactly. Yeah. That was it. I went online. There's a whole documentary online about this where they describe the making of it. But all of the – how they stamp them out of the mold, which is how they do it, that all pales in comparison to this fact that one of the things they use when they're preparing tortilla chips is quick lime. You know, the same thing you dissolve bodies with, you know, if you're Jeffrey Dahmer. So just, you know, just think about that the next time. Anywho.
All right. How's the chip thing going to go? Like, are we going to be guessing the kind of chips that they are? Or are we going to be rating them?
I think we'll probably just taste them and then opine whether they actually taste like what they're supposed to.
Yeah, all I think we should just sort of judge, you know, whether or not they actually. So here's what I brought. I brought Doritos. This is their specialty. This is their offshoot, Doritos Late Night.
Would you read the description
is that
again?
Like Baywatch After Dark?
Yes, let me just. I'm sorry. Yes, this is.
This makes me happy.
Doritos Late Night presents Tacos at Midnight. The late night is calling you, Sarah Dillon. Satisfy your craving with a new burrito, a Doritos brand experience with the late night satisfaction of Tacos at Midnight. There you go.
Do you have to be drunk to enjoy these first? Or
you have to be...
It's either for people who are very, very drunk or just completely loaded on marijuana, and it's like, you're late night Doritos.
You know,
as opposed to the regular Doritos, which you can eat anytime.
Tacos at Midnight is like the greatest title for anything I have ever heard.
Well, Doritos are, they are made by the same company, of course, that owns Taco Bell, which invented the fourth meal,
of course,
for you to eat at 4 o'clock in the morning when you're on your way home from the bar.
Isn't, by the way, this via the text box, it just says everyone should be high right now. Let's all start. All right, thank you, sir or madam. Fourth meal, and isn't fourth meal a thing that hobbits have? Am I misremembering that?
Second breakfast
and elevensies. Isn't there something of, you know...
Elevenses is an actual British thing. Right. I remember that from the Paddington Bear stories.
So there you go.
I love Paddington Bear.
Let's see, what else do I have here? These also sound like a sort of chip, like if you just picked up some skank at the bar and, you know, and it's like, you know, and it's a couple hours later and you don't really want to, you don't really want to get up and walk around and find something, but within arm's reach of the bed maybe there's, you know, there's a bag of Doritos Late Nights. All-nighter cheeseburger.
Oh.
What?
The all-nighter really? Cheeseburger. I swear to God, that's what it's called. And it's like done in all neon.
Like an old sign or something, an all-nighter cheeseburger. It's, what, like a sexual cheeseburger?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. The night
I'd hit that.
The night is calling you, Greg Nibbler. If you need more late-night satisfaction, reach for the satisfying all-nighter cheeseburger. So there's
let's see.
Cheeseburger flavored chips.
Wow.
God bless America.
I have the pesto and smoked mozzarella chip.
Ooh, that
and then
good.
Yeah, that one.
Lay's limon, which we've now discovered. I was confused because I thought that was for lemon and then there's a lime on the front. Apparently that is in fact a combo. That is a word for lemon and lime.
Limon. Right.
Well, then
limon.
What do they call a lemon then?
Lemon.
No, but then if limon means lemon lime, what do they call a lemon?
I don't know. No, they the coffee and brown are the same color.
When Greg speaks some Spanish, what is...
Yeah, but I don't know. I thought lemon was limon.
That's what I...
That's what I do, but somebody in the text box said it was also... It also means lemon and lime together.
Maybe it's a contextual thing, or maybe it's how you print it. Like maybe it's a thing has to do with has to do with inflection or something.
All right, so I'm just going to put all of these on the table.
Are we going to start sampling? Right.
I think I say we just go for it.
I say we go for
La
it.
La Mesa.
All right.
So I'm going to try the pesto and smoked mozzarella.
Wow, this is a loud, loud segment.
I'm going to try tacos.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I
kind of
want to
put
the cheeseburger one.
All right.
I can't
so,
get
it
open.
Feel.
Oh, never mind. Got
there
it.
There we go.
All right, so everybody, wow, this room is going to smell awful this tomorrow.
This is going to stink.
This room is going to
we'll be gone all
funk.
Weekend.
God,
Sarah.
It'll air out over the weekend.
All right. So who's going first here?
Go for it.
Okay. I am, because I want to get this out of the way, I'm sure it's not going to be very good. I'm going to try the white cheddar popcorn flavored Pringle.
I'm having a crisp, refreshing Viso over here on this side of the table.
Yeah, that tastes like a cheese chip.
All right, but
I'm not getting any kind of a popcorn flavor here.
See, now this is the thing is sometimes there are these things are misleading occasionally.
It's a very light cheddar too. It's like hardly any cheddar flavor to it at all.
I got to say that the pizza ones notwithstanding, Pringles typically let you down on this because Pringles, if you remember this, last year they unveiled a bacon flavored Pringle that in fact just tasted like a barbecue chip. It didn't taste like bacon at all. There was no definable bacon taste to that.
Yeah, I'm giving a big thumbs down to the white cheddar pop Pringles.
Sarah Dillon?
Oh, okay. I am eating the Terra Kettles pesto and smoked mozzarella. Holy God, these are amazing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's also the smallest bag that was the most expensive.
Mm. I really try one of these.
All right. I'll
try one of those.
These are good.
They're incredible.
All right.
Mm.
Let's see.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I win.
Man.
Well done.
Mm. Yeah, those are good.
Okay, you got to take
I'm a big fan of these. Okay, so what is it? This is the pesto and mozzarella?
Yep, pesto and smoked mozzarella. Okay, I'm just going to have one more.
Terra Kettles is the brand. Pesto and smoked mozzarella. Man,
I give these a big thumbs up.
They're so good.
All right.
Those are some of the best chips I've ever had.
Wow.
I can see that you couldn't. I don't think I could have too many of these, though. They're very flavorful, but so much so that I think it would be overwhelming after a while.
Yeah.
They're very strongly pesto-y.
Yeah, pesto is one of those things you have a light hand with that spice because too much of it turns on you. Greg?
I actually took two of those and put them in front of me. Like there might be a paucity of chips later, so I need to save these.
There's a shortage
Are
of
you
some kind. All right,
pockets full of them.
Greg, what have you got?
All right, I've got the late night tacos.
All right.
Yes.
I'm going to grab Donna Beer.
Really? Did you feel the need to?
Yeah.
Hold on. The best part is, it's not that you're going to get Donna Beer. It's that you actually felt the need to mime it just now.
I figured I would just get one myself at some point after I drank the last little bit of my Viso.
In our nice tiny fridge.
Were you worried that somebody might think that there was alcohol being consumed in the studio and so you wanted to keep that a secret? All right.
Well, I didn't want her to reject me and then all of a sudden I feel all alky.
You want a beer? No. No, Sarah, I don't want one of your
beers. It is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Sarah. You have a problem.
Sarah wanted to drink before it was even 3. All right, you've got the tacos at midnight. What do you say?
I gotta say they don't really taste like tacos. They taste like regular Doritos to me. I don't see much difference.
Right.
I mean, maybe late night you could probably convince me they taste like anything.
Oh, thank you.
You know, after enough beers, I'm not gonna know the difference. Be like, yes, it's just like tacos. But
I taste taco. It tastes like the taco powder stuff that
seasoning,
like,
but...
It tastes like the taco seasoning that you buy in a packet.
Like from Lowry's?
Yeah, but
that's not what you eat when you eat. I mean, you're not just eating the seasoning.
Well,
speak for yourself.
Maybe in your family.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Mr. Can Afford Meat. Well, this is so gross, but you know what this kind of tastes like? It tastes like the taste in your mouth. As though you had eaten tacos a few minutes ago.
But specifically Taco Bell.
Yeah.
It tastes like Taco Bell.
Which, again, it's the company that owns Taco Bell, so that shouldn't be surprising.
So they just took one factory and shook it into the other factory.
Pretty much.
All right. Okay, so I like those tacos at midnight chips.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan. I'm going to have one more of those. You know what we didn't bring palate cleansers.
I have beer.
Forget.
That's what beer's for.
Fair enough. All right.
Oh, are you eating the cheeseburger one?
I'm having one more of the taco ones, just because I like them. All right.
God, remember the guy who used to always call in and get mad at me for eating on the air?
Yes, I do.
He probably is loving this show right now.
You should get yourself a Viso or something.
I got one over here, actually.
To rinse out between.
All right. And one of those spit buckets from the winery.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Boy, you ever think about the person at the dental office that has to clean that thing that you, the little hose you spit into?
Well, I didn't before.
Oh, I'm sorry, me either.
Oh, that's so wrong.
All right, hold on a second here.
Where did you get the pesto ones, by the way? Somebody is asking where they can buy them.
I got those at my neighborhood Safeway, sir, okay. Madam. All right. Wow, okay. So these are cheeseburger. Now, if I'm... Pardon me? Unless I am off my mark here, I believe that these must be those X-19 secret mystery flavored chips. Remember them, the gray bag?
Yeah.
And we had like a week, we were trying to figure out what they tasted like, and we were one of the few markets, I think, where we had them. And they do taste just like it. And back to the chain thing again. Do they own a hamburger chain? Because they kind of taste like a McDonald's cheeseburger.
I thought Taco Bell and McDonald's were owned by the same company.
I thought it was Burger King and Taco
Maybe
Bell.
It might be Burger King.
They might, yeah.
They taste like
Oh, my God, it tastes like a cheeseburger. That was so weird.
Wow.
I
was reaching for the baby.
I
was reaching for the oh my god, it's a baby sounder, and I hit the barely newer thing.
They own A&W. All right. Someone points out.
I can taste A&W.
It tastes like a lot of ketchup.
You can taste the smoky meat taste, and you can taste mustard.
That is bizarre. Mm. Wait, I
That's
have another
strange.
One. I can taste the entire cheeseburger.
I swear to God, you sounded just like the oh my God, it's a baby guy.
I'm looking at a baby.
Oh my God, it's a baby.
No,
this is strange.
I don't like those.
No, this is
I'm
freaking
not a fan.
Me out.
Does it weird you out or do you just not like the taste?
I don't like the taste. I don't know. Yeah, there's something about those. The taco ones I'm fine with.
See, for me, I'm just eating a flat, like, triangle-shaped cheeseburger.
Yeah,
right.
I mean,
there's something not right about it.
I kind of like the flavor, but my brain is telling me that this has got to give me cancer because it's just so bizarrely artificial.
Right, well, no, that's the thing is there's nothing.
Oh, yeah, that's so weird.
And it does make you wonder, I mentioned earlier that I was feeling a little off kilter today for lots of reasons. Greg, we'll talk about one of those in a second because I need your advice on something. But I just had this weird night last night where I just I decided that it was somehow a good reason. This was a good excuse for my entire dinner to consist of those cracked pepper and olive oil Triscuits, and then like a thing of spray cheese. So I'm walking through. And by the way, anybody who saw me at Safeway last night, I was purchasing like 7 bags of chips and a thing of spray cheese and 2 boxes of Triscuits, the cracked pepper olive oil flavor. But then to get from where I was to the cash register, I had to walk by this big cooler that was just like a display of nothing but like those like pre-cooked chicken nugget things from the deli, like the chicken tenders. And so I'm like, well, I better get some of those. And so I just pile it on. And I just
did you not have a basket? Are you just like gripping all of
no,
this in
and
your
no,
arms?
And I know, and I never have a basket. That's the thing. Because I tell myself it's a lie. You know, it's that sort of it's one of those self-regulating lies where like women will wear – women will wear non-matching under things because then it'll keep them from going home with some guy at the bar, you know, because you don't want the guy to see your non-matching under things. Is that a true thing? Am I making that up?
Well, actually, I used to always think of it more as a superstitious thing that if I wore unattractive underwear, then I was sure to get laid.
That is exactly Donna's spot on.
Oh, okay.
Because if you actually prepare for it, it's like nothing ever
happens.
No,
because if you're ready, if you like take the time to shave your legs and like, you know, look all cute, no, you'll never meet anybody. And then like it's the day where it's like laundry day and you're down to your last pair.
See, I knew a girl who would do this to keep herself from getting liquored up and going home with some guy because she would be horrified if he saw that she had like granny underwear or something on. So she would wear something she didn't want the guy to see and she's like, then I know I won't go home. Anyway, but I have this thing of, well, if I don't use the basket, if I have to carry everything in my arms, then I won't eat piggishly and like a fool. And yet here I am just piling things up like some sort of human Jenga game as I'm walking through the supermarket. And at the end, I grab the big, like, I guess I need some chicken tenders, stacking them on top. And then I went home and just managed to ingest just a huge amount of that. And in a concentrated period of time, because there's that whole 10-minute lag thing where the food doesn't actually hit your brain until you've ingested it. And so then then it's like you've just swallowed an earth ball of some kind, you know, where just a bag of sand.
I feel better about myself now, though, because I had a bachelor night last night when my husband was out, and I went to Trader Joe's. So I had fancy junk food. You know, I had Indian food and some kind of flatbread with gorgonzola cheese and coffee ice cream.
I'm a big fan of these.
That sounds good.
Taco Doritos, by the way. I really like these quite a lot.
I have here, this is one of the flavors that inspired this whole thing, because you had never had these. These are the Lay's dill pickle chips.
Oh, these are really
good. Which I really like these.
I have not had those yet.
All right. Mm. I don't know. I don't like dill
pickles.
I kind
of like the salt and vinegar ones.
All right.
Although we're burning through our taste buds with all these other flavors. Mm. So.
Wow. Those are interesting.
Oh, that's good. Oh, Greg does not like
it. No, not a fan. But I don't like dill pickle. And it does taste like dill pickle.
I like dill pickle, but I don't think I could eat a bag of these. I feel, these are...
It already's hurting the sides of my tongue. Yeah. Just with eating one.
Yeah, these are weirdly weirdly addictive, though. You taste them and you just go, I'm not sure I like it. And then you eat another one and you go, I still don't know if I like it. Yeah, and it burns. But... And then the next thing you know, you've eaten like three handfuls of them and you just keep going back because there's just something. It's that vinegary, salty thing.
Yeah, these have a strangely astringent quality to them. It's like,
well, like pickles.
I suppose. Yeah, no, I'm with Greg. I don't.
I kind of like them.
I like them.
No, but that must be just the thing about the makeup
the
of your taste buds.
One, if you have another one, you will really taste the pickle taste.
No,
the
see,
second one really.
No, but you're doing that thing. No, this is.
No, I'm not saying you'll like it more. I'm just saying that the second pickle, it like that's when it the second chip really hits your tongue.
This
and
is
goes,
a,
I am pickle.
This is.
Hit me roar.
This is like when there'll be some album that you listen to that sucks. And people say, no, it really rewards repeated listens.
Yeah.
You know, it'll grow on you. And it's like, life is short. I don't have time for things that have to grow on me.
It's like it's going to eat through your stomach lining or
something. Yeah, no, I don't know.
It's quite burning.
No. This is, but see, do you like the salt and vinegar potato chips?
Yes.
I do.
See, and I'm not
even
with that
they
either.
Burn
yeah,
like
I don't
see,
like those.
See,
yeah.
I think Greg and I are on the opposite side of the room from you guys, you know, figuratively in terms of potato chips. Because the salt and vinegar, that's like the Hawaiian chip to me. I can't get with that either. There's... The salt and vinegar chip I find very off-putting. I always have.
Mm-hmm. The Hawaiian chip,
I completely
agree. The sweeter one?
That's like a sweet
like
onion
the Maui
flavor.
Barbecue.
Yeah, the Maui onion.
Those
No, I'm not down with that. All right, well, let's continue this while we do some news. I know we've got some actual some watches and things to get to. All right, ladies and gentlefolk, let's make way for...
And now, from the news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
Let's do our taser watch.
All right, hold on a second. Let me find the appropriate information here.
All right, we just opened the fully loaded baked potato chips.
Greg, can I get you to hold those for just one second? Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. All right, as we...
Ooh.
All right. See, that's... Yeah,
this tastes like cheddar and sour cream.
Feet to me.
Yeah, so some of those are very... All right.
It does smell like feet.
And fake bacon.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday, July 23rd, 2010. Time for your Taser Watch. Don't forget, this Taser Watch is sponsored by MugshotList.com, run by our friend and listener, a guy named Andy, covering 19 counties in Oregon, 13 states, including Florida, Georgia, Texas, and Ohio, and updated around the clock by a legion of robots, always adding more counties and states. And, of course, when people are arrested, their mugshots go up within hours of their booking, and... All mugshots represent folks who are, in fact, innocent until found guilty in a court of law. So brought to you by MugshotList.com. Here's your Taser Watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Show. Don Taylor with your Taser Watch.
An 18-year-old North Carolina man took off running early Tuesday in a bowling alley after police suspected him of underage drinking and ended up getting an unlawful firearm possession charge and three shocks from a taser. At lane 28 of the Royal Bowling Alley in Goose Creek, Tyrone Marcus Butler was seen pouring himself a beer from a pitcher that 23-year-old Antoine Sidney Whitney had...
Well, that's the downside of a phonetics-based society.
That Antoine Sidney Whitney had brought him around 12:30 a.m. on Tuesday. Antoine Sidney Whitney.
Wow. Okay, all right.
Two off-duty officers who were working security at the alley asked to see Butler's ID, and he made a run for the exit. The officers cornered him near the door, where one officer pushed over a locker to block an escape route, and the other fired a taser into Butler's back. Ignoring commands to put his hands behind his back, Butler got up, moved toward the exit again, and received another electric shock from the taser. He reached towards his waist and tried to stand again. After the same officer used the taser a third time in Butler's abdomen, Butler finally let the officers handcuff him and take him to the parking lot. In the parking lot, officers found a loaded .32 caliber revolver in Butler's front pocket. They then checked his criminal history and saw that he was a convicted felon and not allowed to own a firearm.
Fantastic.
They also found out that he was only 18 and not allowed to drink beer.
So I have many questions. First of all, this is like the fifth story we've had just in the last week where a guy has been tased repeatedly and then stands up. And, I mean, this is like it took three times. So this, I mean, has any, you, Greg, like you don't have any experience with a taser or anything.
No,
I don't know why
been.
I thought that. Maybe it was somebody else I was thinking of that, like, you know, like had a roommate or somebody was a cop who got tased and whatever. But I thought the deal was, like, what do they just not work? Like, do cops just, are cops not given tasers of sufficient strength? Is that the deal?
I think they come in different voltages. And so, you know.
And they have the barbs, really? Too, right?
Yeah.
To, like, shoot out.
And then there's stun guns and tasers. Tasers, I believe, are less voltage-y than stun guns. Stun guns will actually just take you straight down, whereas a taser will just shock you, but.
Well, I don't know. But when you say that they come in, varying voltages,
yeah.
I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean it's adjustable? Like it's like a Star, it's like a phaser on Star Trek or
I
something?
I don't think they're adjustable, but they do come from different manufacturers. There are different styles. They go anywhere from.
But
I
would imagine
like
that they
30,000 volts up to 250,000. I mean, they.
But you think there'd be a standard police issue taser that would be a uniform kind of voltage?
And you would be wrong.
So, well, but is 30,000 volts, well, I guess it's not enough to keep a guy down there.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the specific voltages, obviously, of the tasers that are not.
Why not?
Keeping the people down.
Rick, the only way you're really going to know is if you take it for yourself.
Yeah, I suppose.
We can do that.
I don't care that much.
We can bring in a guy.
Here's the reason I asked, though. Imagine if you gave cops, imagine if cops had nightclubs and that, like, one out of three times the cop swung a nightclub at somebody, it just shattered, you know, and just broke.
You mean just a club?
Yeah.
Or
like
a billy
club. Yeah, if you gave him a nightstick.
A nightclub is like a place you go.
You know, but if you swung it and it just broke, you know?
Yeah.
Or if you shot a guy and the bullet just, like, bounced off of him. Don't you think cops would say, like, these don't work. You need to give us something better. Every single taser story has the guy being tased, like, two or three times, usually after he's flailing around, during which he could reach for a gun. So you would think if that was really... If they were using the taser right and the taser were manufactured correctly and it was still not working, the cops would go back and say, like, this doesn't work. Like, you got to give us something stronger.
And that may exactly be what happens. This may be the first time a police officer in Goose Creek, North Carolina, has used his taser. And then they had to go back and go, damn, we should get some better ones of these.
Or maybe Goose Creek.
That's my North Carolina accent.
Or maybe, I like that accent.
Maybe that's the genesis point for a new kind of super criminal. Maybe that's where they're being bred. The other thing is, if it's a taser and if the same guy fired it three times, then it must in fact be a stun gun, because I don't think you can fire the kind with the barbs three times, because I think you'd have to reel it back in or something.
I don't know.
It's all very confusing. It doesn't make any sense at all. All right. Well, let's end it. This utterly befuddling Taser Watch is brought to you by MugshotList.com, covering 19 counties in Oregon and 13 states, including Florida, Georgia, Texas, and Ohio. MugshotList.com. You got me running, going out of my mind.
I didn't do it, bro.
You got me thinking that I'm wasting my time.
Don't chase me, bro.
Not promising. Ah!
All right. Yeah. Dawn just made it decidedly. Your face there indicated that you did not like whatever.
I am not fond of these spinach and artichoke chips. They don't taste like spinach or artichokes or anything. They just taste bad.
Smell horrible. Hold on. Hello, sir, madam, as the case may be. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. How's it going? It's Jeffy.
Hey, how are you?
Not bad.
Before we get to the taser, let me ask you this. Have you ever tried tacos at midnight, an exciting new flavor from Doritos?
No, I've seen the bag, but it looks pretty sexy, but I've never had them.
Well, they are a sexy chip. Have no illusions about that, my friend. I strongly recommend them. Rick Emerson gives them a thumbs up. How can I help you today, sir?
Well, the taser, the kind the cops have where it shoots out the prongs.
Right.
Once they're in you, once you pull the trigger, the electricity's going through and it shocks you, it takes you down. Once you let go of the trigger, the electricity's not going through and you're completely fine.
Oh, so it's
you may have crapped your pants a little bit, but
okay, so it's the projectile element that is a one time thing only. It is the firing of the barbs into your body that's a one time thing, and then it's just like turning a hose, like a garden hose, on and off or something, where you just pull the trigger to electrify what is already in the guy.
Exactly.
All right.
And then the stun gun, the kind that, I think Sarah used to have a stun gun or whatever. Those.
I did.
They don't take you down. They don't really, I mean, the sound is scary, electricity's frightening, but drunkenly, a friend of mine had one, and we were sticking it to ourselves, seeing if it pulled the bullet burns a little bit.
When you say sticking it to yourself, though, was that like you were jabbing yourself, or were you actually taking turns jabbing each other with the stun gun?
A little bit of both, but we kind of got into that who could hold on our arm the longest.
Who instigated this, and who finally like just crossed the line of demarcation and said, "Well, I'll tase myself," and then got the stun gun to do it? Like who was the one who finally just took the plunge and used the stun gun on himself? Was it you or him?
Well, it was Joe's stun gun, but I think Jack Daniels made the decision for him.
Ah, well done, sir. All right, excellent. Thank you, my friend. Have a safe and productive weekend.
Yeah, you too, Rick. Bye.
All right, thank you. There you go. All right. There you go. All right. I don't even know what we're doing here. Just before we do anything else, we'll talk more about this next week. But I mentioned... So I'm going to ask Greg this thing, which I guess we'll have to talk more about next week. We're running short, and Greg and Sarah are going to do the show. Then we should reveal our thing, the other thing. And then we're going to talk to Michael Beatty while we continue to eat comestibles.
It's a plan.
A word like that.
I went to Catholic school with a guy named Michael Beatty.
Really? This is he's one of our many fine sponsors.
Oh.
Oh, I think may have to come in. Here's
so
the thing.
If you know something creepy about him, don't say it because it might be him.
Yeah, seriously, here's the great thing is not that we'll need this at any point, but he does business carpet cleaning. So.
Oh.
Hello, hi, Rick Emerson Show. How may I help you on this Friday?
Hey, Rick, it's Michael. I was supposed to call you.
Hey, is this Michael Beatty? I swear to God, I thought we were calling you. There was a this is Rick. I swear to God, there was a large note held up across the studio from me that indicated that we were calling you.
That phone number will be Michael Beatty.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
You recognize the number
oh,
when it comes in.
Fail. I have completely failed. All right. Never mind. All that stuff I was saying right now was actually completely misdirected because I once again didn't really know what I was talking about. Michael Beatty of The Cleaning Solution. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing very well. So I am here, of course, with Don Taylor, Sarah X. Dillon, and Greg Nibbler, late of the Rick Emerson Show, now of Fun Employment Radio, are in the studio with us as well. Have you ever had tacos at midnight Doritos, sir?
Yes, I have.
You have? Now, have you? Are you an aficionado of Doritos in general, or was it like a one-off purchase for you?
I pretty much try any new flavor. They actually came out with a cheesy enchilada one.
A cheese enchilada Dorito?
Ew.
Yep.
Now, where
did
was
it taste like tamale?
Really
did it taste like enchiladas?
Yeah, did it taste like an enchilada?
It tastes like a nacho cheese Dorito had sex with the Cheetos.
Okay, all right.
And they had a baby.
No, I... Yes, I figured that would then follow.
It's actually better that way.
Wait a minute. Let me just back up for a second. And I apologize if I'm mixing people up. You, by chance, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, you weren't the one who brought by the giant Cheetos to the studio, where the Cheeto that was like the size of a golf ball. That wasn't you, by chance, was it?
No.
All right. I wanted to verify because.
Sorry.
They
disappoint.
No, there was these Cheetos that they put out, and they were on the market for like, I don't know, like a month. And they came four to a package, and they were these huge golf balls, basically, that were made of Cheeto material. I mean, they were these big. They looked like malted milk balls or something, but they were golf ball size, and they were a little chewy, and they were Cheetos, and they were just the weirdest things on earth. So, in any event, all right. Final question here. Have you had the cheeseburger flavored Doritos? That also came out as the mystery Dorito flavor a couple years ago.
Yes.
All right. you sound really just
that one. That one wasn't good.
I'm sorry. I think his phone is cutting out here. But anyway, so we'll skip ahead we'll skip to the bottom of the page here. So Michael Beatty is the proprietor of The Cleaning Solution, and you guys have come on board as one of the proud and preeminent sponsors of the Rick Emerson radio program. And so first of all, thank you, and I think I speak on behalf of everybody for your support. You've been a listener for a long time too. You've been a listener of the show for some time.
Yes, very long. I recognize Bruce and everybody.
What era? So that was going to be my next question. What era of the show was it when you started listening? Was it? Do you remember what station we were on?
It was 98 when I graduated and I started listening to you. Then I moved to LA and kind of lost touch until about 2000, 2001, and then I started listening again.
When you say you graduated, was that from
Max 9, 10.
So are we all. When you say graduated, was that from high school or college?
High school.
So this is, look, not a knock on you because you've still got youth on your side and vitality. But every now and again, and it happens with increasing regularity, the older I get and with every passing year, where I will meet somebody. I actually met, I wish I could remember her real name. I remember her email name for some reason because she's been emailing me for years and years and years. I met a woman last year who told me that she started listening to me when she was in, if I've got this right here, she started listening to me when she was in seventh grade, and now she is, in fact, married with a kid and I think has finished college, if the math all works out.
Which
is,
you're old.
It's, seriously, it's like, it just makes me feel like the oldest-ass guy on the planet. But so you came in, you came back to listening to us right around the Max 910 era. So, I mean, really, it's kind of amazing that it's amazing you stuck through that.
Okay, you want to know something that's amazing, Rick?
Yes.
I was never going to bring this up, but I'll tell your wonderful audience. You all know me.
Now, how is it that we you didn't go to school with Sarah, did you?
No, unfortunately.
Wait, hold on. How is it? This sounds. Now I'm unnerved.
There's a bit of a stalker story is about to come out, isn't it?
All right.
It's not a stalk. No. Once you guys hear it, you'll go, oh, I'm sorry.
Is this something we should discuss off the air?
Oh no.
All right.
On air when it happens.
Have we had you on the show before?
Have I had sex with you?
Have I had sex with you?
No.
All right. Make it sound like it's a punishment. Well, hold on. So the backup here. So Greg and Sarah are aware. So we're all on the same page. So Michael is the proprietor of The Cleaning Solution, which is a company that advertises with us.
Cool. Uh-huh.
And so apparently there's history. So I'm guessing, my theory is, because this is just the way that radio unfolds, my guess before you reveal this is that we had you on the show or in the studio for some reason in the past. And probably something unbelievably awkward happened that we have just managed to flush out of our brains. Am I close to the truth there?
No.
Bigger than a bread box.
Well, does anybody else have a clarifying question to ask before we reveal
Michael,
here?
Michael, what are you, let's see. So did something awkward happen with a specific person on Rick's show, like be it me or Rick or Tim?
No, it wasn't with your guys' show, but after the incident came over, Sarah came over, bought me a drink, and me and her had a drink together.
So did Sarah have to buy you an apologetic drink for something?
It was more of, yeah, I'm sorry for you being you. Pretty much.
Okay, I give up. No, Sarah's looking at me like I should remember, and I don't remember either. All right, so go ahead. So I guess
I was the guy that got called out by his father on the Tom Likas show at the listener party at the Crystal Ballroom.
I totally remember you. Okay, now just to do a little bit of behind the scenes. So Sarah and I were exchanging not unnerved, but really perplexed looks right now because we couldn't. I'll just say we've had the show's been on the air for 12 years, and we've had a lot of people either call in or come into the studio. And let's just be honest, any number of horrible things have been done to people because of our program. So Sarah and I were just going through. I could see the look on your face. You were going through the mental Rolodex of everybody who'd come into the studio and had something bad or humiliating or ridiculous or shaving-oriented happen to them. And it was like, well, who is this guy? Okay, so when
I feel a sense of relief right now.
Well, that was my thing. I'm like, oh God, did we embarrass you in the studio or did we make you eat something awful or did like your girlfriend dump you on the air or something? So when Tom Likas came to town, you were at the Crystal Ballroom, if I remember correctly, for the Likas party, and your dad, meanwhile, called into the Likas show to taunt you via Tom's program which was, again, live at the Crystal where you were. And I forget exactly why, though. What was, if you don't mind, I mean, we've gone this far. What was it that you were doing that your dad felt Tom needed to straighten you out for?
He thought I was too young to be in a full-time relationship with my girlfriend.
And he wanted you, your dad called Lycus because he knew you were at the party, and he wanted Lycus to get you to dump your girlfriend on the air at the Crystal Ballroom.
Yep.
And you didn't.
They yanked me on stage, and everyone yelled at me.
I don't remember that. I don't remember you getting on stage. I do remember the loud. I remember the crowd chanting "pussy" over and over again.
And the dump that bitch.
Wow. And the dump that bitch.
I was gonna leave that part out.
Did you stand your ground and not dump her?
He did not.
Good for you, sir.
I'm married to her, and we have a 3-year-old.
Oh, that's so awkward.
Oh, my God.
What is your...
Because you said my girlfriend at the time, so I figured that you guys had parted ways.
Oh, I'm sorry. Whoa, hold on. What was that?
That was me.
All right. Okay, I am so glad we made it through the awkwardness of a couple minutes ago not knowing what the hell you were talking about, because And how fantastic now that he's actually a sponsor of this program at all. It's a circle of life. Okay, but now I have to ask follow-up questions. So, so you were at that party. Well, yeah, you, because you bought him a drink afterward. Your dad calls Lycus and says, "Hey, my boy Michael is there at your party at the Crystal."
Dude, that must be awkward around Christmas.
That was going to be my question. Yeah. He's dating this girl. You got to get him to dump her, Tom, and then you won't do it. And now you're married and you got a kid. So, what does your wife, then girlfriend, now wife, does she know about the whole thing with your dad and Tom Lycus?
Yeah.
Was she listening?
She found out about a week later.
Was she listening when it happened, or did she find out about it later? But you told her about it?
But I did. 2 weeks later, I came home, and all my stuff was out on my front yard.
Oh, wow. But did she...
But you didn't dump her.
Well, but did she think you were in on it, though? Did she think that, like, you and your dad, you know, were in on it together? Or was it just, like, a guilt by association thing?
Kind of both. It was more, she thought I was, my dad, me and my dad were in on it, and then she also was like, "Well, you didn't really say anything, you just said that." I'm like, "Well, when you have 1,000 guys standing in front of you yelling at you, what are you going to do?"
No, that's true.
Go, whatever.
That's true, and I mean, and you, you know, and to be fair, yeah, I mean, you didn't, yeah, he's not like you really spoke up a lot, you know, a lot in her defense, but you didn't really say
anything.
You
would have been crucified if you spoke up in her defense.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah, as you said, there's 1,000 drunk, Lycus listeners there, and that's a tough crowd, you know, and I really, you know, I love Tom and his show, and, you know, and a lot of Tom's audience was our audience and vice versa. So, there's a lot of crossover there. But, you know, the guys who were there drinking all day at the Lycus event, you know, that's a certain mindset they're in. And Lycus is up there, and he's in full show mode. And, you know, that you're on the firing line. So I don't think anybody blames you. So you just didn't really say anything. You were very noncommittal. How did you finally make things right with the girlfriend?
Pretty much she kept listening to the Tom Lycus show because Tom produced for Tom Lycus for about 3 weeks straight, and we put on air and go, "Did you do it?" And go, "Nope." And I finally, I'm like, "Well, I'm not gonna do it, Tom." And Tom's like, "Well, you are a gigantic pussy," and hung up on me. And that was the last time I talked to Tom.
So,
and then she was like, "All right."
So he was so he was doing like follow up, which he would do occasionally. He did like follow up calls. "Have you dumped her yet? I mean, come on, what's the hold up?" And then he finally just gave up and threw in the towel. And that's when she figured you were the man for her.
Pretty much.
Awesome. I am so glad that you called in today and that when we toughed it out. I here's the thing. Can I just be honest? I was really afraid.
Yeah.
I was really afraid that this was going to turn out to be something where, like, we had inadvertently, like, you would come into the studio and we had just done something horrible to you, or that you had called up the show one day and we had just insulted your moms or something. So I'm glad that we didn't do that. All right. So excellent. Well, that makes it all the better that you are now a proud part of the Rick Emerson family. The cleaning solution can be reached at 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. They do stain removal of of carpet, upholstery, stone, marble, tile, as we say, anything you walk on, anything your feet touch, whether it's odors that got to get out of the rug, or maybe your pet has done some damage, residential, commercial. Maybe you got the, you know, just pounds and pounds of potato crumbs, potato chip crumbs, and, you know, and PBR and whatever. It doesn't matter. They can take anything out of the carpet that that you or Mother Nature has put in there. And they can be contacted at 971-533-3211. And I got to tell you, really, just from me to you, I mean, having been in a room and seen the Leica show happen live several times, it is impressive that you managed to stand up to that and actually not waver in the face of Lycus and a thousand guys sort of taunting you. So I give you my salute there. So well done, my friend.
Well, thank you.
All right, excellent. You have a good weekend, sir.
You too. Right, have a good one, you guys.
Thank you. There you go. That is Michael Beatty of The Cleaning Solution. All right,
could
there
have
you
ended
go.
So poorly.
Well, that's when you.
Yeah. Wow.
I know all of you.
Well, when you were out of the room, it was like, and I don't think he meant it this way. I think he was just trying to have a little fun with it. I was saying that it was like, I was just so afraid that we had like had him on the show and like yelled at him or we had insulted him or.
No, because we've done some terrible things.
Yeah, let's have, some things of which I'm not proud. And that was my thing. I do remember that, though. I remember the dad calling him, my boy's there and he's dating this girl and all like, and he had a dumper.
That was so hilarious. Wow. It was awkward.
I don't remember that he said that that Lycus actually called him on the air like for the next 3 weeks at the beginning of the show. Michael, have you dumped her? I didn't remember that. This is like that time.
And I think I don't like my father-in-law.
This is, I should have asked how the relationship with his dad is.
Yeah, I was curious about that.
Well, we'll ask him that next time. Well, this is like the time that the guy that was dating Kristen Bowie, maybe they still are, I don't know. But that the Kristen Bowie's boyfriend called up the Leica show and was, I don't remember what he said.
That was so awkward.
He did, wow.
He does like voices or something, like he did a voice.
But he called up and he did something. I don't think he was calling in character this time, although he had done that quite a lot. He was like some sort of, he was like a budget Captain Jenks, where he would call up and, you know.
Yeah, Richie would, yeah.
But he called up the Leica show and he said something about something or other. He made some wise ass comment. But then he goes, well, you know, and my girlfriend Kristen, she's actually the board op for you at KCMD in Portland. And Tom went, really? Well, they were having a disagreement. I think Kristen's boyfriend and her, Kristen Bowie, was having a disagreement with the boyfriend. The boyfriend calls Lycus about the disagreement and then reveals, hey, and the girl with whom I'm having this disagreement, she's your board op. And Lycus, of course, has the studio line.
Yeah.
Oh.
So he calls the studio line. Kristen answers it, and she's like, and, you know, is on the air with Lycus. Which is, you know, that's an unnerving place to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's all
well,
very.
Well, you can't not answer the studio line when you're in there running the board.
No.
Well, no, and I mean, that's, you know.
And that's just such an awkward. I remember not liking that dude for a while after that, because that's like, I would be so mad if somebody did that to me.
Yeah. Good God almighty.
But I think that they are together and very happy.
Well, I'm sure he's a great guy. He's probably funny. All right. Well, in any event, it's 503-505-6964. That being said, we got to wrapping things up here.
The Torch and Tamale Sprinkles actually taste unnervingly like tamales.
Really? Okay, I got to have one of those. Okay, well, Dawn, let me get the breaking news sounder here. Do we have you? Because I'll let you do this because you've got it all sort of positioned correctly, right?
Well, I gave you the sentence that you wanted to say.
Really? Well, do you know what it is? I mean, I feel more comfortable if you if you present that. Well, let me just find that here. It's
buried underneath all the chips.
I wasn't.
Ooh, these are good.
Wasn't entirely sure what you what you handed me. People handed me things all day long here. By the way, what are you guys going to be doing on Fun Employment Radio today?
Let's see. Well, we have Kelly Clark from Willamette Week coming in.
Excellent. So you guys talked to her a couple days ago, so
yes,
we're going to do like some best of, have a few beers, talk some True Blood probably.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So True Blood, that has just become...
So. You don't need the paper.
All right.
I'll
that has just become a thing that I just... It is work to watch that show now. Because I feel
it's
like
exhausting.
I have to create new areas of my brain just to process all the insanity that happens on that show. And then apparently, goddamn Mad Men starts this Sunday, which we didn't even get a chance to talk about.
Yep.
I have I didn't see a commercial for it. I haven't seen a print ad for it. And it's just out of the blue. Mad Men is back this Sunday. So I got Mad Men and True Blood, which, as you pointed out, is just going to be... And that's a train wreck of television watching your brain. You got to put half an hour between those two. It's just like...
Yeah, and I end up, you know, downloading them and watching them first thing Monday morning. So my mornings are just...
Downloading them from
I'm
a legal...
I'm going to be crazy on Mondays. Yes.
From a legal, legitimate source.
Of course, yes.
We wouldn't want to encourage people to get things for free that they might otherwise be asked to subscribe to.
No.
All right.
That would be wrong.
That would be wrong and angering. and Unforgivable. And Dexter, I think, actually comes back. It's not right away, but I think Dexter is coming back in the immediate future because they showed the trailer for season five or whatever this is, season three. I think it's season five, maybe.
Yeah,
because
there's been
two.
Yeah, it's season. I think it's season five. They showed the trailer for it at Comic-Con yesterday. And I guess this season is all about Dexter trying to get to the bottom of who he is as a person and whatever. And then that show had really lost me for a long time.
I just couldn't watch this last season.
Was it because of Rita?
No, it's just too disturbing.
Because
what happens at the end.
Yeah,
yeah.
But because of the way that how evil that killer was, I just could not stomach it.
The Trinity killer,
it was too dark.
You
for
don't
me.
Get creepier than Lithgow.
No,
he was so that first episode. Have you seen Dexter?
This oh yeah.
Last
oh
so
yeah.
I remember telling Greg's. I think I saw the season premiere of last season. I don't know. Maybe I got a trailer or something or a screener sent to me. But I came in. I'm like Lithgow. I'm just like. Effing Lithgow is just off the charts. Like it's wrong. It's too much. And that sequence where he's sitting in the bathtub and he's like caressing the woman and has her looking into the mirror and and then I'm watching it going like, you know, and I just felt like I felt like Bill Paxton in Aliens. I was just started weeping to myself. It was just so deeply unnerving to watch.
And yes, Dexter also returns this Sunday.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
Really?
Yeah. They rerun it on the 28th, which is Wednesday. So
oh my God almighty. So we got True Blood and Mad Men and Dexter in one night.
Yeah.
Hopefully none of them are at the same time.
I just won't be sleeping.
I gotta get cable again.
But even if you have cable,
and
that's
TiVo. I gotta get all this
solid
stuff.
Hours.
Yeah.
Thank God. We don't have time to talk about this, but I found out that they're not gonna launch Californications next season until January, but I'm still very much on the fence about whether I'm going to come back for the next season of that show. Did you ever watch the series finale or the season finale?
You've told me I need
you
to do
bastard.
That. I know, I still haven't done it.
It's
I know,
like
and
seven
I keep forgetting.
That's my God. I
will make it. Okay.
Don't lie. I'll make time to watch it. No. That's a deceit. You're peddling deceptions and fibs to me.
Well, I never said I had watched it. I said I'm planning on watching it, which I'm still planning on.
I will say this. Here's why, and this is the only thing I'll say about it. I will say two small comments, and then I swear to God, then we'll start to wrap it, because you got to get in here and do your thing. My two small comments about season three of Californication and the finale. The third season of Californication is one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I loved the first two seasons of that show. I mean, it really I am a huge fan of the first two seasons. It really was like nothing I had ever seen. They took a lot of television standbys and tropes and clichés and really reinvented them. I was a huge fan of the first two seasons. The third season of Californication, I watched it just thinking it was like watching an analogy I use sometimes. It was like drinking soda that had been left out for a couple of days. You know, just no zing, no fizz. It was terrible. It was so to the point that I actually posted an apology on my webpage. I said, if you started watching Californication this year because of my recommendation, like, I apologize. I take it back. It's crap. I have steered you wrong. The finale, though, of season three is actually, in my opinion, not only the single best episode of the series the best episode that series has ever had, but it actually functions perfectly as a finale if you choose not to pick it up again. If you choose not to start watching again, it actually is – the finale of season three is so good, especially after a bad season, that I think I may not pick it up again with season four. Because
really?
Season three is such a good finale, I may actually make that, for me, the finale of the series. That's all I'm going to say. It's just I know it sounds like I'm overselling it, but it really is. If you ask anybody who has seen it, and they should keep you spoiler-free, but if anybody has seen it, they will tell you the same thing, that it is jaw-dropping. It's astonishing.
It was just getting through those first four or five episodes because I wanted – I mean, I love that show.
Oh, it's terrible.
And
it
wanted
sucks.
To like the season, but, I mean, it was so bad. I just
– You here's the thing. You don't need to watch the rest of the season, though.
Yeah.
I suspect, although I cannot prove – that the finale for season three of Californication was written separately from, or at least, or far in advance of the rest of the season. It had to have been written separately because it's so different. So you watch that, and the thing is, then if you never watch another episode, you're good because it functions perfectly as a series ender. So I'm just saying. So this Sunday, then, we got Dexter, we got Mad Men, you got your True Blood. So we'll do wrap ups of all that crap on Monday. God damn.
Will we?
No.
Will we?
No, we won't.
We have to spread it out
no.
over like F a couple no. of days.
Ugh.
We'll do one like Monday, one Tuesday, one Wednesday. It's not like everybody else is sitting down and watching them all on Sunday.
It's just it's a world gone mad. All right, let me open up this my sound bank here. I didn't really anticipate that we would be using this. Let me actually bring out a different piece of sound, Dawn, that we'll use for our breaking news. Are you ready for the?
I am indeed.
All right, so I'm going to use our Legion of News theme.
Oh, and I did want to. Oh, okay. Well, I did want to say ahead of time we don't truck much. In actually scoops here. We tend to glean news from available sources and share them with you, the listener.
We reformat and repurpose, Dawn.
But
we're an aggregator.
In this case, we are the first people who are actually sharing this.
That's right.
With the public.
Breaking news here on the Rick Emerson program. And from sources that will not be identified, but in one case at least that I can vouch for as being I would say relatively unimpeachable. So without further ado, we'll bring up a little bit of audio here with which to introduce this exciting piece of. All right, and now with this piece of breaking news at the Rick Emerson Show news desk, this is Dawn Taylor.
The Rick Emerson Show has it on good authority from an unimpeachable source that a source close to one Ms. Tanya Harding is reporting that she is pregnant. I repeat, sources close to Tanya Harding say the former figure skater,
the husky blue-collar icon of Portland,
the working-class scrunchie enthusiast, is with child.
There you go. That was a Rick Emerson Show exclusive here on the Emerson News Network. And as Dave Barry sometimes says, I am not making this up. So there you go. These are, again, of course, are you know, the source close to
right.
Ms. Harding. So, you know.
We have not confirmed this ourselves, but sources close to Tanya Harding say that she's pregnant.
Awesome. There you go. All right. Fantastic.
Yay.
All right. Well, we will get out of here. Sarah Dillon and Greg Nibbler are going to be in next with Fun Employment Radio, which you can check out here in just a bit at funemploymentradio.com. We won't have time to do this today, but next week, Greg, sometime before, like either Monday or Tuesday, I need to – because you've been on Leverage. You shot
yes.
some Leverage stuff. So mm-hmm. I announced this earlier today. So it's a small part. It's a couple of lines. But I got a gig for Leverage shooting next week.
Awesome.
For the – I guess it's the finale. Maybe it's the finale. I think it's a two-parter. But I think it's one part of it. One of the – I think it's the final hour anyway of the season. So I have a small role. But I've never done anything like that. I have no – all the acting I've done has either – you know, apart from Outlook Portland – it's just all crap that I myself have financed, which means that I never had to do things properly or learn how stuff actually works.
Gotcha.
And I have known enough, professional and real actors, of whom you are one, that I don't want to be the rube who shows up and because you always, and Dawn does this occasionally too, where, in L.A., this wouldn't fly. This is, which like was, and that was like every third sentence out of Tim Riley's mouth too. God bless him. Because
yeah.
he's a great talented actor who spent many, many years, in the highly competitive city of Los Angeles. And so there have been many, many moments where Tim has said, well, in Los Angeles, this sort of thing just wouldn't go
this
over.
Would not do.
You can get away with that here in Portland. But
apparently
he's Portland thin.
I apparently LA threw thin. Rick off for a whole day by just going, your headshot, what's the deal with this? It doesn't have the contact information on the bottom, and it's like full bleed. It's supposed to have the border around it.
And he was like, what? And that was the day, that was actually the day that I went in for my audition, where I'm already all jacked up and nervous. And as I'm literally going to get 2 minutes to the show being over and I'm getting ready to go to the door, and she goes, it's a weird looking headshot. What's up with that? I'm like, oh, come on! It was like she was Larry Bird trying to get in my head. It was very disturbing. So,
by the way, we never got to taste the limon chips after we kept talking about the limon.
Here's the thing:
I don't think I can eat any more chips.
I know.
I do not want, after having tried whatever those dill things were. We'll close out the show with you trying those because I don't want those.
I know. So my personal recap while we were talking about that, I tasted the Kettle Buffalo Blue. And I just want to say, we have two different brands of Kettle brand chips here. Both of them suck. So Kettle, you lose.
Oh, right. This smells terrible.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should make this a regular feature of,
No, we love hanging out with you guys.
Yeah.
Monthly, weekly, whatever it is. But I don't know what the next genre of food would be. So you...
They do. They taste like lemons and limes.
Really?
On chips.
All right. This is just like when Sarah had the taco chip and said, oh my God, it tastes like a taco.
No, cheeseburger.
I'm sorry, a cheeseburger?
Ugh.
These taste too
similar
really
to the dill pickle.
Gross.
Yeah, it's really, because it's weirdly yeah. artificial. When you first put it on your mouth, you go, lemon, and then you realize it's fake lime yeah. taste. And, oh, man. Yeah, no, these are awful.
All right.
Did you try them?
No.
Okay, so Lay's limon. No.
I don't advise it.
All right, yeah. Well,
Three team player.
It's like somebody rubbed a lime gummy bear on a chip.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't even want to finish chewing this.
Rick seriously looks like he's going to vomit right now.
I'm going to do the rest of the show.
It's going to melt in your mouth. You know that.
Oh. Ah. All right. This is
I'm sorry. I suggested we open that.
And no offense to Alex, but all I have is this lemon lime viso. Oh, God. It's like... okay, you know what
who
that's like?
Who would eat these? Why would anyone ever eat these?
I forget who just said something similar to this, but you know what that tastes like? That is a Lay's limon chip, which you should avoid like at all costs. That tastes like a potato chip made to taste like lemon lime bubble gum.
Yeah.
Ew.
No. Okay,
like
we're going to...
Lifesaver flavored chips.
God damn. All right,
we're
ending
this now.
What
are you going to do with all these bags of chips?
Yeah. I think they should just go in the kitchen, because you know that we work with other people here, and that'll earn the love of our coworkers and building mates.
Love and respect.
And plus, we don't want to take some of these homes, so...
No.
Jenny says she doesn't think the new season of Dexter begins till September, so...
That would be nice. I'd really like it if it didn't start
so
on
So apparently
Sunday.
The schedule I'm looking at is just, they're just showing it.
Okay,
That's
but you're
not
sure...
The news,
are you
so.
Sure about the Mad Men thing, though?
I am sure about Mad Men. Mad Men does start on Sunday.
Because that's going to be work enough right there. I mean, I guess Michael C. Hall, the chick that plays his sister, and Duchovny were all on a panel at Comic-Con, because they air, you know, those shows are both on Showtime. So I think they're going to release some footage from that. I guess it was a really great Q&A about what happens with the season of Dexter and so forth. All right.
Cool. Yeah.
Which, by the way, you mark my words, is going to end with Dexter killing, what's his name? Killing that hard-ass cop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what he did to Dokes in season one. You know, the cop who was questioning, then he ended up blowing him up or something.
Well, that's been building for a while, because they keep alluding to that guy has some weird past. Yeah.
All right. Well, we're ending this. All right. Let's... all right. We want to thank our special guests, Sarah X. Dillon and Greg Nibbler, as well as Michael Beatty of The Cleaning Solution and Tom Lenk. Find out more about him at TOMLENK.com. Rick Emerson Show comes to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network. At the news desk is Don Taylor. Advanced technology and magic provided by Thomas Gill. Executive producer Bruce Egler. Chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show continues next on the live stream after a brief musical interlude 24/7 all weekend long. The Rick Emerson Show is made possible by a generous grant from you. My name is Rick Emerson. It is Friday, July 23rd, 2010. And that is The Frequency, Kenneth. As always, thanks for listening. Be safe. See you all tomorrow. Watch out for snakes. Or Monday. Bye now. Wow. And
attention broadcasters in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.
Oh, my God, I'm looking at a baby.